All right, so we are holding on the last line of Dalet Omer Beis. And we're in the middle of discussing the mitzvah Bal Ta'acher, that if you made a promise to Hashem of Korbanos or various other things, which we discussed before, then a person doesn't fulfill it within a certain amount of time. He's over on a mitzvah called Lois Ta'acher B'Shalmei, which we're calling Bal Ta'acher for short. So we had a long list of the items. Good morning, Ali. We had a long list of the items to which that applies, which we're going to take up that list on Hayom and Beis and start discussing them. We had five different opinions of Tanoim, how many Yom Tovim, how many of the Shalosh Regalim have to pass before a person is over. We had the Tanakama said three Regalim, doesn't matter the order. Reb Shimon said three Regalim to Sidron, still Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot in that order. Reb Meir says one, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says two, and Reb Elazar ben Shimon says Sukkot, regardless whether it's the first or the last one. So we're in the middle of discussing. We said that a couple of the Tanoim learn from the fact that it says at the end of the list of the Shalosh Regalim, it says Shalosh Pam Bashana. It says that everybody should appear in the Beis Mikdash b'Chag Matzah, b'Chag Shavuos, b'Chag Sukkos. Why does it need to list those again? So therefore, Reb Shimon uses that to say that it means that you have to have those three in order. Reb Elazar ben Reb Shimon focuses on the gears that we have in front of us is that he says that it didn't need to say Chag HaSukkos. He says that it doesn't need to say Chag HaSukkos. As far as Reb Shimon, actually, I said it wrongly yesterday, that Reb Shimon learns from the fact that it says B'Chag HaMatzos, the fact that it didn't need to say that, since that's the first one on the list. So therefore, it means that has to be the first one on the list, and it goes in that order. First Chag HaMatzos, then Shavuos, then Sukkos. And Reb Shimon focuses on the fact that it says Chag HaSukkos. That Tosfos brought such a gears from Rabbeinu Hananel. Anyway, so we were in the middle of discussing then, so the Tanoim who don't learn from that, who learn from other Psukim, that you have one, Reb Meir, who says one Yom Tov, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, who says two, what are they doing with that Pasuk, the Chag HaMatzos, the Chag HaShavuos, the Chag HaSukkos? So we said that ultimately, as far as Pesach and Shavuos, we're making a hekesh, the Pasuk is telling us to make a hekesh between them, that there's such a thing as Tashlumin for Shavuos. Given that Shavuos is only one day, you have 6 days after it to bring the Korbanos, the Ola Su'iyah, the Shamit Chagiga, that you didn't bring on Shavuos itself. That's, we learn that from this hekesh. So we said, in that case, why don't you instead make the hekesh between Shavuos and Sukkos? And say, therefore, that you have one more day, because when it comes to Shavuos, you have 8 days total, not seven like you do by Pesach. And ultimately, we answered it's one of those things, to fast the merubah like the faster, and therefore, if you have a choice between seven and eight, we're going to go with seven. So the Gemara says, Ela, l'may hilchsa kasper achmona l'chag HaSukkos. Well, in that case, according to that, why did the Torah write Chag HaSukkos in that passage? If according to the Meir and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're not learning from that list anyway that we're anything about Bal Ta'acha, we're learning that it's one Yom Tov or two Yom Tov based on other Pesukim. And we're saying that Pesach and Shavuos are only there in order to make a hekesh between them, just like Pesach you have 7 days, so Shavuos you have 7 days. So why does it write Sukkos at all, according to them? And the answer is La'akushe L'chag HaMatzos. The reason is to make a hekesh between Sukkos and Pesach. Ma Chag HaMatzos to'un lina. Just like when it comes to Chag HaMatzos, you have to stay overnight in your Shalayim. You can't just say, okay, I brought my korban, let me leave right away. You have to stay overnight. Rashi uses the expression, you have to stay overnight, Leil Chulei Shel Moed, the night of Chol HaMoed. Which means, in other words, the point is, you can't just say, forget about your korban Pesach. The point is, at least on the first day of Yom Tov, you have to bring your Ola Suriyah and Shami Chagiga. Then you have to stay over the first night of Chol HaMoed and then leave only the next morning. So just like Chag HaMatzos requires that Af Chag HaSukkos Tohen Lina, the same thing would be true when you come for Sukkos as well. That we find out from this hekesh. So Tosfos discusses over here actually the pros and cons of, is that correct that when we say Tohen Lina, we mean that you're allowed to, so if you brought your Ola Su'iyah and Shami Chagiga, you can turn around on the morning of Chol HaMoed and start heading home, or is it in fact that you have to stay over for the entire Yom Tov? And Tosfos says, maybe, after all, if nothing else, fine, an Ola Su'iyah, you only need to bring once during the whole Yom Tov, but you have a mitzvah of Simcha throughout the whole Yom Tov, and that involves bringing Shlomim or other kinds of Korbanos and eating the meat of it. Ain't Simcha l'bavasa. Okay, so Tosfos says maybe not, maybe you could be Yotze Simcha in other ways. So Tosfos goes back and forth about it, whether what luna means over here, whether it means that you have to stay for the entire 7 or 8 days of Yom Tov and leave only after that, or whether, like Rashi is saying, you might be allowed to leave during Chol HaMoed. Rashi himself, in fact, elsewhere uses an expression that you can stay someplace within the out. You can see that during the rest of Yom Tov, you can stay someplace near your Shalayim, not necessarily in the city. You could stay like within the Tchum or within a day, or maybe not even the Tchum. On Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to travel more than that. You can stay within a few miles of your Shalayim and just come every day to bring your Korbanos, etc. So that factors into this as well, whether we mean that Lina means you actually have to stay every night in your Shalayim, or whether you're allowed to stay in the immediate area, and every day you'll travel to the Beis HaMikdash and bring your Korbanos. Anyway, so that's what we're learning from this Hekesh of Chag HaMatzos and Chag HaSukkos and Chag HaShavuos as well, that each of them, you need Lina. So the Gemara says, V'hosem Menolon, where in fact do you know by Pesach in turn that you need Lina? And the reason is, because the Pesach describes, you come on Pesach to the Beis HaMikdash, then it says you turn around in the morning and you go back to your tents, meaning your houses. Now the morning can't mean the morning of Yom Tov, you're not allowed to travel. Not just you're not allowed to travel, more to the point, Rashi says, you have to appear in the Azara. You have to have your Yeroah Kol Zechurcha. The fact that you came on Erev Pesach and brought your Korban Pesach is not, you're not Yotzer with that, because you still have to bring your Ola Sri'iyah and Shaman Chagiga, and those have to be brought sometime during the Yom Tov itself. Okay, maybe not on Yom Tov, maybe not on the first day Yom Tov itself, according to Beis Shammai, you have to wait to them, you have to wait till Chol HaMoed, but at least sometime during the 7 days of Pesach, you have to do that. So if it says a Fanisa Baboyker, must mean the morning of Chol HaMoed, and then we're saying you turn around and go home, telling us, therefore, that you need Lina. So we learn from that the same thing applies to Sukkos. Not everybody agrees, in fact, in the end, that it is Toh and Luna. You have over here the little Aleph over here, when you look in Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah, you see only the Smag brings it. The Rambam does not mention this concept of Luna, or he mentions it only in connection with Bikurim. So there are some of the Nosikalim on the Rambam that learn, in fact, that maybe the Rambam would say, all Gemara is talking fine. We're talking according to the Meir and according to the Elazar ben Yaakov. The Halacha in terms of Baal Ta'achar is not like them. So therefore, not necessarily do we have a source to say that that you should need Lina by all the other young children. Maybe, in fact, you can bring your Korban and leave right after that. Okay. Next, the Tanakam of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it says, but that's a mistake, because it means Rav Shimon, regular Rav Shimon, who says that you need three regalim in order. So, Tashlumin Latzeres Menolahu, we said that according to the other Tanoim, we're learning that Shavuos has Tashlumin from the fact that you have the Hekesh, B'chag HaMatzos, B'chag HaShavuos, or B'chag HaSukkos, and that's, so according to them, you have two different Hekeshim over here. You have from Pesach to Shavuos, namely that Shavuos has Tashlumin, and from Pesach to Sukkos, that they both require Lina. So where do the Tanakama and Rav Shimon know about Tashlumin for Atzeres? So that's the thing. As far as the Gemara doesn't ask about Lina, and that may be, as we just said, because maybe Taka they hold, that in fact you don't need Lina. So therefore the Gemara doesn't even ask about that. But everybody agrees that Shavuos has Tashlumin, so where do we know that from? The answer is, Nafkalahu Mitztoni Rav Bashmul. They're going to learn it from a different source, what Rav Bashmul taught. The Toni Rav Bashmul, he teaches in a Braisa, Omra Torah Menei Yomim V'Kadosh Chodesh, the Pasuk tells us to count a certain number of days and then be Mekadosh the new Chodesh by bringing Korbanos on it. And we know, in other words, the point is, when we say Menei Yomim V'Kadosh Chodesh, among other things, it means that a month has to consist of a whole number of days. We know that from one Moilad to the next one is, on average, Chavtes Yudbeis Tashtag, 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 Chalakim. You shouldn't think, therefore, that a month can consist of 29 days and X number of hours. No, you have to have, it has to be a complete number of days, because it says, and the reason is, because the Pasuk says, Ad Chodesh Yomim, implying that a Chodesh has to consist of Yomim, of days. So the Torah is telling us to count a certain number of days and then make Rosh Chodesh holy by bringing Korbanos on it, and Minei Yomim V'Kadosh Atzeres. The Pasuk similarly tells us, count a certain number of days, 49 days, and then make Atzeres, Shavuos, holy. Therefore, we learn from that, Ma Chodesh L'Menuyei, Af Atzeres L'Menuyei. So we say like this, the Chodesh, you have the units of which the Chodesh is made up of are days. And you have 29 or 30 of them as the case, maybe. The same way, the unit that Shavuos is made up of is weeks, because you have to count weeks up towards Shavuos. So therefore, since the Yom Tov Shavuos itself is only one day, then therefore that implies that you have the entire rest of that week to bring the Korbanos. So Shimon and the Tanakhama can learn from there. Tosfos over here discusses, is that really the correct Girsa? After all, what do you mean Omra Torah? The Torah doesn't say necessarily in so many words, doesn't say in so many words, Mene Yom and Bekadish Hatzedes. In fact, we have the famous thing with Tzedukim held that you're accounting for Shavuos begins on Sunday and Shavuos is always on Sunday. And so calling it Omra Torah would imply that something that says explicitly in the Torah and the Tzedukim can't possibly argue with it, and you know that they did. So Tosfos brings a different girsa that maybe it's not Mene Yom V'Kaddish Chodesh, Mene Yom V'Kaddish Atzeres, maybe it's Mene Shonim V'Kaddish Yovel, that Beis Din has a mitzvah to count the years up to Yovel. And again, the idea being, in other words, that the Yovel is made up of a certain number of Shmitas, it's made up of seven Shmitas, and the idea is that Beis Din has a mitzvah every year at the beginning of the year to count and say, just like we count Sfiras HaOmer, Hayom Yom, whatever, LaOmer, they have a mitzvah to say Hayom Shnas, whatever, layovel. There's a Tosfos in a different place. In Chagiga, you also have this Gemara almost word for word, so we'll get to it, you know, in a few months, Beis Hashem. Tosfos says over there that maybe the Gemara is in fact implying that with a Chodesh, maybe Beis Din has the same mitzvah also. Maybe every day of the Chodesh, they have to count and say, Hayom Yom, whatever, LaChodesh. Anyway, so the point is, again, a Chodesh is made up of days, and therefore a Chodesh is one day, and that's the day you bring the Korbanos. The same thing, Shavuos is made up of weeks, and therefore it means you have a week to bring the korbanos. So the question is why? Why? Maybe in fact the point is that the Shavuos is only maybe in fact Shavuos is only the fact is the Yom Tov itself is only one day. Maybe after all the amount of time you have to bring the korbanos of Shavuos is one day. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, of course not. What do you think? After all, do we only count days up till Shavuos, not weeks? You have a mitzvah of both. You have a mitzvah to count days and weeks. In fact, the very Yom Tov itself is called the Yom Tov of weeks. So it's true. The amount of time until Shavuos is made up of a certain number of days, but it's also made up of a certain number of weeks. So in a way, you have both. In other words, you have one day to bring the korbanos musafim of it. We're not going to say, for example, that if you didn't bring the korban musaf on Shavuos or the shtei lechem or whatever, that you should have a week to do that, because that the Torah tells us that the Yom Tov is only one day. But when it comes to tashlumin for the Olas Ri'ah and the Shaman Chagiga, there we're going to focus on the fact that Shavuos is also made up of weeks, and therefore that you have an entire week to bring them. So again, the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon are going to learn from that you have those extra 6 days to bring the korbanos, and therefore that's that. So they're going to learn that. They're going to learn that from the Hekesh of Chag HaMatzis to Chag HaShavuos. So therefore, they're using the Hekesh of Chag HaMatzis, Chag HaShavuos. No, they're not using it as a Hekesh. They're using it as a list to say that this is the number of Yom Tovim, or this is the order of the Yom Tovim that you need before you're over on Baal Ta'achar. The fact that you have Tashlumin for Shavuos, instead they're learning from this comparison with Rosh Chodesh. Next, in the list of korbanos that we said a person is over on Baal Ta'achar, we had at the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph the list of things that a person is over on, and one of them was that it mentioned Bechor, Meister, and Pesach. So the question is, Pesach, what do you mean the Pesach, a person is subject to Baal Ta'achar? Pesach Zimne Kvila, you have a fixed time to bring the korban Pesach. E akrave akrave. If you brought it on your dalim nisim and you brought it good, the e loy akrave idchile. And if not, then it's pushed off and you don't bring it as a korban pesach. So what are we talking about? That you have however many regalim, there's no other regal. There's no regal at all that you bring it on. Even pesach itself, you don't bring a korban pesach on. You bring it on erev pesach. And Tosfos teaches out the question. So in that case, you should be over as soon as erev pesach passed, and he didn't bring this animal as a korban. So the answer is Amar Rav Chista. The Gemara gives two answers. Amar Rav Chista, Pesach kedi nasba. The The first answer is, Rav Chisda said, okay, the Braisa mentioned Pesach unnecessarily. It's a very common thing in Mishnayos. We have it, for example, in Ezer Mekoyim, to mention Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach altogether. They have certain similarities between them, as we say in that Mishnah, the Dom and Ton Matona Achas. And in fact, the Gemara in Zvachim, and then at the end of Psachim, says that we learn one from another as far as this that you have, only Matana Achas, it only says explicitly by one of them, and we learn from it to the other one. And you have a Machlokas, what exactly that consists of, whether Shvicha or Zrika, whatever. The point is that they have a certain connection between them. So here, the Braisa needed to mention Bechor and Meiser. Sure, a person is over on Balta Acher if he doesn't bring his Bechor within the year after it was born, or he doesn't bring his mice to Behema within Sholosh Regola, we won't have many Regolim after he designated it. So therefore I mentioned Pesach as well, even though you're right, Pesach doesn't really belong in the Braisa, says Rav Chisda. Rav Shesha says, no, there is a need for the Pesach. My Pesach shall make Pesach. You know what we mean by Pesach? We don't mean the Korban Pesach itself. We mean the Shlomim that a Pesach becomes if you don't bring it in its proper time. So now, in other words, a person designated his animal for Korban Pesach. He didn't bring it on Erev Pesach. For example, Rashi says, Rashi and Tosfos both mention that you could have where, for example, he lost it, and so he took a different animal and designated himself instead as his Korban Pesach, that he ended up bringing that other one. Then, after he did that, he found the original animal. So now, that animal is not going to be brought as a Korban Pesach anymore, but he was already Yotze his Korban Pesach. He's not going to need it for Pesach Sheni, and he can't save it for next year's Pesach because it can only be within a year old. So therefore, it becomes a shlomim. So now those shlomim, if he delays bringing them three to Golem, he's going to be over on Baltach. So Gemara says he hochi hanu shlomim. Well, then that's the same thing as shlomim. We already had the shlomim in the list of korbanos in the Braisa. So then, so according to that, why are you mentioning Pesach? And the answer is, Tana Shlomim Aboy Machmas Pesach, the Tana Shlomim Aboy Machmas Atzman. Because according to that, you can say the Braisa is talking about separately two different types of Shlomim. There's Shlomim that come as a result of the Korban Pesach, like we're saying it was supposed to be a Korban Pesach, and now instead it's being brought as Shlomim. And then you have the regular kind where you bring them to begin with as Shlomim. Why does it need to list them separately? So Tosfos actually discusses, there is an opinion in Masechet Psachim, that an opinion of Ben Tema that says that these shlomim haboim machmas Pesach, in fact, do have some dinim different than a regular shlomim. They're more like a Korban Pesach in that sense. There's a shorter amount of time to eat them, unlike a regular shlomim where you have 2 days. This one you only have 1 day. And then the Gemara discusses over there various other things that Ben Tema might hold about these shlomim. So according to him, there's no question why we have to mention, but we're talking according to the Chachamim, who say there's no difference. These are regular Shlomim, Shnei Yom V'Layla Echad. So why mention them separately? Because, Sakad HaDechamina, you would have thought to say, Horel Machmas Pesach Ka'asu, given that this Shlomim is being brought only because it was supposed to have been a Korban Pesach, a Pesach Domu, maybe they should be like Korban Pesach, and as soon as the first regal passes, already you should be over on Baal Tacher. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us that not, that nevertheless, it's true, it was very Machmas Pesach, but the fact is, it's not a Pesach, now it became a Shlomim, therefore it has the rules of a regular Shlomim, and now you have 3 Yom Tovim to bring it, or however many Yom Tovim according to the different Tanurim, and if not, then Baal Tacher. Okay. So now that we established the
Pesach Sheni.
Yeah. Pesach Sheni, same principle. In other words, if you brought it on Pesach Sheni, then good. And if not, then it becomes a Shlomim. There's a whole discussion we had back in Sechta Pesachim. There's a whole discussion what happens if you shechted it between Pesach Rishon and Sheni. If you didn't end up bringing Pesach Rishon, do you need Akira? Do you need to explicitly say, I'm bringing this as a Shlomim? Or implicitly, maybe it becomes a Shlomim. There's a discussion about it over there. But yeah, other than that, Pesach Sheni has the same dinim as Pesach Rishon. You brought it, then good. If not, then it becomes a Shlomim.
So why can't you bring... instead of bringing it as a shlamim, you bring a korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. It's stronger, isn't it?
That's why Rashi stresses that we're talking about over here, where your original one got lost and you brought a different one. If it was, for example, you didn't bring it Pesach Rishon because you became Tomei or what have you, sure, you'll bring it for Pesach Sheni, no problem. But once you already yotze Pesach Rishon, you don't bring Pesach Sheni.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification. Fine.
Okay, so now that we went through the five Tanoim and we explained where each of them gets his opinion from, now let's talk about the list of things that were in that Braisa. We had a long list of various kinds of korbanos, various kinds of donations for the Beis Mikdash, as well as matnas aniyim and tzedakah. So menahani mili, where do we know that Baal Ta'achar applies to all those things? So the Tanan Abanim, we learn in a Braisa, the pasuk says ki sidur neder. It starts off, if you make a neder. So first of all, any of a neder. Now we know that there's a difference between a neder and an adava when it comes to korbanos. Neder is you say hare alai. The obligation, it's a chavis gavra, as they call it in yeshivish terms, the obligation is on you, the person. I'm obligating myself to bring such and such a type of korban. So if you later on designate a particular animal for that purpose, and it gets lost or stolen or becomes a balmum, etc., then you are chayav bachriya, so you have to go get a different one. You're not yotzi, you're neder until you bring it. As opposed to nedava would be you say hare zeh, if the chiyuv is on the animal itself. That you, to begin with, say, I obligate myself that I'm going to bring this animal as a korban. Now, if for whatever reason you can't bring it, ein chay bachriyusa, then we don't hold him responsible, because it was supposed to be this animal, and you don't have this animal anymore. So, einli elam neder, the Gemara says, so if we only had the pasuk yisidur neder, you would only know that this concept of baal ta'achar applies to a neder, nedava minayin, how do we know that it also applies to a nedava, that you have to bring it within the right amount of time? So the reason is Xeda Shava. Nemer can neder, but nemer mahalan in neder and nedava. Here it just mentions neder. In a different place in Torah, a pasuk in Parashat Tzav, it uses the expression im neder or nedava, so it puts them in the same breath. Therefore, malahalan, nedava ima, can nedava ima, the same way as over there. The word neder also goes together with nedava, the same way we're meant to understand that here by Baal Ta'achar in Parashat Kisaytse, they go together. And when it says neder, it means nedava as well. In fact, Tosfos says, really, the Gemara didn't even need that. In the Pesukim about Baal Ta'achar itself, it continues. It says it gives the mitzvah chaseh, motzos chasecha tishma vatsi. So you should fulfill and do whatever you said with your mouth. Kasha nedarta l'Hashem alakecha nedava. So right there in the pasuk, it mentions nedarta and nedava together. So Tosfos doesn't explain why the Gemara doesn't use that. Maybe because that's already by the mitzvah saseh, you need to know by the mitzvah lois saseh that they go together. Okay. Anyway, so there we know that in nedava as well. So that justifies what we said in the Braisa, that it applies to nedarim and nedava. Next. Okay. So actually, let's quote the whole pasuk first. The whole pasuk goes like this. Ki sidur neder l'Hashem alekecha, if you declare a neder to Hashem alekecha, lois sa'acha l'shamay, don't delay in paying it. Because Hashem will most definitely demand it from you, and you will have a sin if you don't do it. So the Gemara is going to douse in this phrase by phrase and see how we learn from that all these different things. So again, so kisidur neder, from the fact that it says neder and nedava elsewhere together, we learn that over here with the nedava also. When it says that you make the neder to Hashem, elo hadamim ha'erchim racharamim v'akdish. Those refer to all the different things that a person is donating to the Beis Hamikdash. All of them are kosher bedik habayis. All of them are lahashem. In a sense, the kohenim don't get anything out of them. When you give damim to the Beis Hamikdash, for example, it goes to bedik habayis. Unlike, for example, when you make a neder and a java with pretty much any kind of korban, the kohenim are going to get something out of it. If it's an oila, they get the skin. If it's a chatas, you can't do a neder and a dover for a chatas, never mind. If it's a shlomim, then the kohenim get the chos of a shoik, etc. But on the other hand, kodesh bedik habayis, the kohenim don't get anything out of it. So therefore, all these ones are concluded under l'Hashem alekecha, because they go exclusively to Hashem. Tosfos teaches out, but actually by each one of them, it says explicitly Hashem. By Erchin, the Erka Chodafashis Lashem, by Charomim Kodesh Kodoshim Hu Lashem, by Hekdeshis Kiyakdeshis Beisei Kodesh Lashem. So each of them, it actually says Lashem, and therefore we can say that Lashem Alekecha in our pasuk refers to them. Now Tosfos learns, as we talked about yesterday, that when we say Charomim over here, we also are including Cherme Koyim. Now, those are not Lashem. Those go to the Kohenim of the current Mishmar. Nevertheless, Tosfos says, once we have a pasuk that says, Kodesh Kadoshim Hu Lashem, by Charomim, then to a certain extent that pasuk does also apply to Chervei Koyanim in the sense that true, they're not Lashem because they go to the Koyanim, but until you give them to the Koyan, they're considered hektish and you're not allowed to have anah from them, so therefore that can be included under this heading as well. Okay. Next, the pasuk continues, when it says you should not delay in bringing it, so l'shalmoy means to pay it. Meaning, we learn from that, the din of Val Ta'achar applies only to the original korban, not to its chilufim, not to the exchange of it. What that means, we're going to talk about in the Gemara soon. Next, the pasuk continues, Ki Dorish Yidrashanu, Hashem will demand it from you. That means, in other words, Dorish, He will demand it from you. Eilu Chatoris V'Hashomis, Eilu Sushlomim, that refers to these korbanos, Chatoris and Hashomis, which are required of you, Nidrosh and Mimcha, in the sense that you're obligated to bring them. You did such and such a thing, now you have to bring a chatas or an asham, so that's being demanded of you. It's not something voluntary. As far as the Eilus and Shlomim, also you have, so we're not talking about Eilus and Shlomim that are a neder and a dava. Those we already covered at the beginning of the pasuk. Here we're talking about the Eilus Re'iyah and the Shamech Hagiga, which you're required to bring. So therefore, so that's also Dodesh Yidrashenu, it's going to be demanded from you that you bring them in a certain time. Now Tosfos mentions over here a chatas and an asham, fine. If you don't bring them after the Shalosh Rezolim, there's no deadline for bringing them. You could end up bringing them much later. You're over on Bal Ta'acha, but as the Gemara is going to say, the korban is still kosher. But when it comes to Eilus Re'iyah and Shamech Hagiga, again, if you don't bring them by the end of the Yom Tov or the end of the days of Tashlomin, then you don't bring them, then already over a regal in a chayv achriyosay. So what are we talking about over here, Bal Ta'acha? So Tosfos says, fine, but you still have, the animal itself is not possible. So the same thing, you designated a certain animal, this is going to be my Eilus Re'iyah for Pesach. You didn't end up bringing it Pesach. Fine, you missed your opportunity. You're not going to be able to make that up because Pesach's already gone, but nevertheless, you still have a mitzvah to bring that animal as your Eilus Re'iyah on Shavuos. You didn't do it on Shavuos, do it on Sukkos. So therefore, we can still be talking about Eilus V'Hashomos that you still, Bal Ta'achar is relevant to them. Tosfos also mentioned that maybe what it is when we say over here in the Gemara that Dorash Yudushenu includes all four of them, Chatoris Hashomas, Eilus Hashlomim, maybe actually we're really only learning Chatos from Dorash Yudushenu because you have the expression Dorash by a Chatos, by Moshe with Alazar and Isamar and Parashat Shmini. The Eistira Chatos, Dorash Moshe. He was asking about what happened with it, and they told him that it was broom. And then the other ones we learned because you have a hekesh, you have the pasuk that we say in morning korbanos zoyis atarda la'ola la'mincha la'chatas la'osham la'miluim la'zavach hashlamim, from which we have a hekesh between all the korbanos. Tosfos says then in that case then why do we need different psukim that we say, why do we need different parts of our pasuk over here or of kisid or neder to learn all of them? If you're going to say that we can learn from that hekesh, then we can just learn them that way. So no, we do learn certain dinim from that hekesh, that all korbanos are compared one to another as far as certain dinim, but not as far as this din of Bal Ta'achar. For that, you need the various things that we're saying in the Gemara Avi. Okay. Going along, the Braisa continues, Hashem Alekecha, it repeats again in the pasuk Hashem Alekecha, Fidurash and Rishanu, Hashem Alekecha. So from those words, we learn, Eva Tzedakah, so Meister, so Bechur. From those, you learn that also Tzedakah and Meister and Bechur, that those you also have to bring in time. Now, after all, because the Hashem, I didn't have to say Hashem Lekecha, I already mentioned him earlier in the pasuk. So how do we learn those? So Rashi says, because by tzedakah, it says the expression of l'chotia tzedakah l'fnei Hashem Lekecha. So we see that tzedakah is associated with Hashem Lekecha. B'chur and Meister, the pasuk says, v'achato l'fnei Hashem Lekecha, Masa d'goncha, and it mentions b'churus in those psukim as well. So we learn therefore that Meister and Bechur are also included in Hashem Alekecha. And Meister means both kinds. It means Meister behema, and it means Meister of animals. Next, when the pasuk continues Me'imach, that Hashem is going to demand it from you, Elu Zeleket Shikropeya. That tells us that also Bal Ta'achar applies to Leket, Shitcha, and Peya that are supposed to be going to the Aniyim. All of them, it says, that's Ha'oni Imach, the Oni with you, in Kesef Talbe Asami, it says, therefore, the word Imach over here refers to things that go to the Aniyim. And V'hoya B'chochet, when the Pasuk finishes off, if you don't bring it in time, then you're going to have an Avera. B'cho means V'loy B'korban Chochet. There will not be an Avera in your Korban, in the sense, in other words, the Korban does not become fossil by delaying it. it's true that you are over on Baal Tacher by not bringing it after three regalim or two or however many according to the different tanoim, but the animal is still kosher for a korban. Of course, as long as it hasn't aged out, you have certain korbanos that have to be within a certain age range, and if that time passed, of course it's going to be possible. We're not talking about that. We're talking about where there's no age limit. So then, as long as once the animal reaches the point where it's considered zokin, where it's considered old, then it's possible because it's not respectful to bring an old sick animal like that as a korban. But we're not talking about that. We're talking from the point of view of yes, the three golem were over, but nevertheless, the korban is still kosher. Okay. Now let's analyze that a little bit. Omamar loisa achal shamay hu v'loy chilupa. So we see that the loisa achal shamay means that Baal Ta'achar applies to the original korban itself, but not to the exchange of the korban. So what do we mean by an exchange? Now an exchange could mean a tmura, but it can also mean, for example, like we talked about before, where the original one was lost, you brought a different one as a korban, and then the original one turned up. So, chilufei mai. What kind of chilufim are we talking about that we need a pasuk to tell us that Baal Ta'achar doesn't apply to them? If you're talking about the replacement for an Olo Shlomim, what do you mean? Why shouldn't Baal Ta'achar apply to them? Mikra Kaivi. You bring them as a korban. You were going to bring a korban Ola. The animal got lost. You brought a different one. Now the original one turned up. You're still bringing it as an Ola. So why shouldn't Baal Ta'achar apply to it? Same thing with a Shlomim. If you're talking about a Chatas, then Lemisa Azla, we know Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai that the exchange of a Chatas, when the Skakruba, in this example, when the Skakruba Alei Ba'achar, when they ended up using a different animal as a korban, we know when the original one turns up, it goes Lemisa, you lock it up in a room, so you don't bring it as a korban, so obviously Baal Ta'achar doesn't apply to it. And Tosfos adds, in the parallel case of an Osham, the din would be that you send it off to graze until it develops a mum, and then you sell it and you use the money to buy an ola. The Tosfos brings actually that Ben Tam hold that strictly speaking, in the Ikra din, you would be allowed to bring it as an ola, but the Chachamim said not to for reasons that the Gemara discusses in various places in Seder Kodshim. So therefore, according to that, the Gemara doesn't even mention Osham over here. It's true then. The Gemara could have said that we're talking about Chilufei Osham, and at least on the Daraisa level, you would bring it as a korban. But nevertheless, the Gemara wants to find something that's going to apply more broadly. The Chilufei Ola and Shlomim, yeah, they themselves are brought. Chilufei Chatas goes Lamisa, Chilufei Osham goes the Re'iyah, and again, according to the Benatam, the Ikir Adin could be brought as an Ola, just the Chacham said not to. So what do we mean by chilufav? It must be referring to chilufay toida. Suppose that you have a mixed up toida. So Rashi explains that we're talking about over here. Let's say you have, as the Gemara is going to give us the example, where you have not that you were makir the first one and then the second one turned up, but a slightly different case where the second one turned up before you shechted the first one, and then they got mixed up, and now you don't know which is which. The Tani Rav Chiya, Toda Shnis Arva B'Tmurasa, because Rav Chiya teaches us a Braisa, that if a Toda gets mixed up with a Tmura, so a Tmura could be straight out where the person said, this one is instead of this one, where he's over on the Issu, Loyach Lefenu V'la Yomir Oysa, but nevertheless, both of them have to go Shavah Hoyo U'Tmurasa Yekodesh, or it could mean what we were talking about, so there it has to mean that. So now if they got mixed together, umesa achas mehen. If now one of those animals dies, chava to ein matakana, then there's no takana to bring the other one as the tmura, because heichi levid. Because how would you do it? Likrav lechem b'hada. Should we bring the remaining animal together with the 40 loaves of bread that go together with the toida? Can't. Dilma tmurahi, maybe this one that's still alive is the tmura. And the din is, you do bring the tmura of a toda as a toda, but without the lechem. So therefore, you can't bring the lechem with it. You do bring chulin into the azar. Liquid of a beloy lechem, and should you say you bring it without the lechem, can't dilma todahi. It might be the original toda, and that has to be brought with the lechem. So therefore, there's nothing you could do with it, so therefore you'd have to leave it until it develops a mum, etc. So therefore, so we could be talking about that case. was it? We can't be talking about that case. Well, if that animal can't be brought as a korban, then what do you need a pasuk to tell us that bal ta'achar doesn't apply? In other words, again, we're saying the Braisa said that bal ta'achar does not apply to chilufa. So if we're saying that it's talking about chilufa toda, the case that we just talked about, of course bal ta'achar doesn't apply. You can't bring it as a korban, period. So what exactly is the pasuk being memayit? Something that we're saying you could bring as a korban, but nevertheless bal ta'achar doesn't apply. What is it? If it's something that you could bring as a korban, bal ta'achar should apply. If it's something you can't bring as a korban, then of course bal ta'achar doesn't apply. In fact, the Braisa is telling us that bal ta'achar does not apply to the exchange for an olo or shlomim, but not where we're talking about, not the regular case where we're saying that you have the new one and 3 year golden pass, but rather the scenario would be suppose you have the original animal that you were going to bring as an olo or shlomim. Two to golden pass and you didn't bring it yet. You have one more regal to bring it, and if not, you're going to be over on bal ta'achar. V'humam, now it developed a mum. V'chila lo yalachar, so you were mechalalet on another animal, because now you can't bring the original one as a korban anymore. So you swapped it out for another animal. Now, if you do a tmura, you wouldn't be allowed to, but this is, we're talking about you were mechalalet. A tmura means that you're saying, I'm exchanging this one for that one. A chilul, which is the way that you're allowed to do it, means you're saying, I'm taking the kedusha of this one and transferring it to that one. So that you're allowed to do. So in this case, he transferred the kedusha onto a different one. But overall, of regal echad, and now one more regal passed, and you didn't bring the new one yet. Salkatai de chamina. So Rav Sheshe says, without the braisa telling us, you would have thought, after all, what makes this new one a korban is it's coming from the koyach of the original one that you were mechalal on it. Therefore, commander Ogrel of Gilgum of Golem Dummy. So we should consider as if 3 the Golem passed and this animal was not brought yet. And therefore, you should be over on Balta'achar. Kamash Milan. Therefore, the Braisa is telling us that no, not to say Balta'achar doesn't apply to it at all. Balta'achar doesn't apply with the combination of the amount of time that passed with the previous one. The clock resets now because you have a new animal. Okay. So the question then is, or the mayor, do Amar Kivin Sha'aval of Regal Echad over Bal Ta'achar? No, according to the mayor, we said only one Yom Tov passes, and already you're over on Bal Ta'achar. My equal mayor, how are you going to explain, according to him, why we have to say, who v'loi chilufav? According to him, there's no such thing. In other words, if you didn't bring it after one Yom Tov, you're already over on Bal Ta'achar with the original one. So there's nothing to talk about whether you are or aren't over on Bal Ta'achar with the second one. And the answer is Amar Rava, Hach Ma'askin, Kukin Shuhumam B'Soicha Regal. The case could be where the mum developed during the Yom Tov, B'Chiloloi, and he was Mechalad on another animal, but over Olav Regal, and the rest of the Yom Tov passed, and he didn't bring it. So now, had it been only one animal the whole time, then yeah, as soon as Yom Tov is over, he's over on Bal Ta'achar. But because here it was switched out for another one in the middle, therefore the clock resets. But you would have thought not. Again, given that it comes from the koyach of the original one, it's only being brought because you had the original one, and now you have to be mechallel on this one. Commander over the kula regal dummy. Maybe it should be counted as though the whole regal passed on this one, and you should be over on bal ta'achar by the end of that yomtiv. Kamash malan. Therefore, the braisa is telling us that not. That in fact, bal ta'achar, the clock resets. Even according to the mayor, you need one complete yomtiv to be over before to pass before you're over on bal ta'achar. Therefore, let's say it developed the mum in the middle of Pesach. He's going to say you have now until the end of Shavuos to bring it before you're over on bal ta'achar, or the end of the Tashlumin of Shavuos, whatever, before you're over on bal ta'achar. So that's the chiddush of the braisa when it says v'loy b'chilufav, who v'loy chilufav, doesn't mean that bal ta'achar doesn't apply to chilufav when they're being brought as a korban. It means that those chilufav, the clock resets for them. Next, we said in the braisa, v'hoya b'chochet v'loy b'korban chochet. We said, we learned from the words that it says v'hoya b'chochet, there will be a sin in you implied, but not
Alexander.
In Yeah.
Can you just, I missed that. I didn't hear you exactly.
we were just saying that, in other words, the point is, when it says the loy b'chilufav doesn't mean that, that Baal Ta'achar does not apply to chilufim. We're saying it does apply to them, but the clock resets for them. According to the Chachamim, in other words, no matter, even if you have however many Yom Tovim passed, we ignore those and we start over counting the three. And according to the mayor, it means that it was during the Yom Tov. We don't count that Yom Tov towards the one that he says you need for Baal Ta'achar, because you have to have that the animal was available for a korban throughout the entire Yom Tov, and here you don't. It was only available during the original one was half of Yom Tov, and the new one is the other half of Yom Tov.
So what's the halacha?
The halacha is like the chachamim, that shalosh regalim, regardless of the order. But still, when we're explaining the braisa and the drashas that we learned from it, we need to be able to explain them according to all the opinions. Next, we said in the Braisa, we said that if a person is over on Baal Ta'achar, he himself has committed an Aveira, but the Korban is not possible. So the question is, are we learning that from here? We have a different source for that concept, a drosha that Acherim say, which usually means Remeir. The Tanya Acherim Oimim, Yochol Yehe B'chor Sh'ov Reshnosei. Now, like this, you have a B'chor, you have to bring it as a korban, you're supposed to bring it within the first year after it was born. Because the Pasuk says you're supposed to bring it Shana Shana every year. L'fnei Hashem L'kach Techlenu Shana B'shana. So you would think then that if the year passed, and you didn't, that if the year passed and you didn't bring it, it should be posel, kipsulei amukdash, and maybe it should be considered like psulei amukdash, like an animal that developed a mum, or like you have, again, we said before, there are certain korbanos where you have an age limit to them. So maybe a b'chor should be like that, it has an age limit of 1 year. The posel, and therefore it should be posel. It's really disturbing over here. Is it possible to not, with the crackling of the plastic so much? We are trying to learn. That's fine. But, okay. Rashi also makes a point over here that after all, a year, almost nearly always, a year includes three regalim. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about, we're going to talk about on Vav Amud Beis, you do have a potential scenario where you have three, where you have an entire year passes and three regalim haven't happened. We're going to talk about in terms of a solar year we're going to get to tomorrow, but ordinarily a year contains three regalim. So therefore, so you would think now that three regalim have passed, maybe the Bechor should be possible. No, Talmud Lama, V'alchalta l'fnei Hashem alakecha masa d'goncha tirosh chavitzeracha. The Pasuk says you should eat it before Hashem, the meiser of your grain and wine and oil, or v'choris b'korcha b'tzoncha, and the b'chorim of your cattle and your sheep. Therefore, makash b'chor l'meiser. So we have a hekesh between the b'chor and meiser of produce. Ma meiser any nifsum shana lachaberta. When it comes to meiser of produce, we know it doesn't become possible if you didn't bring it during, if you didn't give it to the levium or the anim or whatever during the year. And we know that because after all, you have the whole concept of beer meisers that only after 3 years do you come to a point when you're required to give it out to the people and then you say vidri meiser. So it doesn't become possible from shana lachaberta. Tosfos mentions that earlier there had been a long Tosfos that talked about when do we say Baal Ta'achar would and wouldn't apply to Meiser? Would we say possibly that it doesn't, that would we say possibly that Baal Ta'achar does apply if you didn't give the Meiser that you already designated? The Mitzvah Sholesh Shonim, that it says that you have 3 years, would we talk about if you didn't designate it yet? You took your produce, you stored it in your barn, you decided I'm not going to be eating it yet, I'm not going to be selling it, I'm just going to leave it there to age or whatever. So fine, then you have 3 years to take the maestros from it. But once you took the maestros, Tosfos learns, you would be over on Baal Ta'achar Sholosh Regalim. Still though, the point is, in other words, the fact is that we see that maestro does not become possible after a certain amount of time, because you're saying you didn't give maestro last year, you're still giving it this year from last year's produce. So the point is, therefore, so just like Meiser doesn't become possible from 1 year to the next, Ach Bechur and Nifsum and Shana Lachavata, the same way neither does a Bechur. So we see from that, therefore, that it doesn't become possible even though you were over on Baal Ta'achar. So why do we need the words Vahoya Bechur Chet, from which we learn Vahoy Bechur Von Chet, to teach us the same concept? The answer is Itzrich. We still need it. Stop it at the Chamina, handing me the Bechur. Because otherwise you would have thought, you know what, fine. You know why a Bechur doesn't become possible, no matter how much time passes? The Lab Bar Hatzo. Because after all, the Bechur is not coming for Hatzo. You're not bringing a Bechur because you need Kapara or a present to Hashem or something like that. The Bechur is a special kind of thing. The Torah tells you a Bechur belongs to Hashem. So it's not really, you're not bringing it because you did an Aveda and therefore you bring a Korban. You're not doing it because I want to give Hashem a gift, like an Ola or a Shlomim. It's more, it belongs to Hashem, so you're bringing it to Hashem, what belongs to him. So therefore, you would say that's fine, then there's no deadline for it. Abba Kodshim Dibnei Hatzaninu. Kodshim, after all, you're coming to that Hashem should accept you, whether it's because there was an Aveda and you're asking Hashem for forgiveness, whether it was because you want Hashem to, so to speak, to like you better. So therefore, you would think, Ema Loy Lutz. So you would think, look, you bring them Aveda, you made the neder, you waited so long to bring it, you were already over on a mitzvah Bal Ta'achar, maybe the Eidishter will not accept it. Kamash Malan, therefore we need to be told, even by other Karbanas, it still works and you can still bring it as a Karban. So the Gemara says, Va'kati, but still, Midban Azai Nafka, still, we don't need the words V'hoya V'chochet to teach us that concept. We learn it from what Ben Azai says. Netanya Ben Azai Omer, Oisai Ma Tamad Loimar. When the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, in connection with Pigul, the expression in the Pasuk is, lo yeirot, say it will not be acceptable. And we know that Pigul is where they had a thought, they had machsheves zman, while the Korban, during one of the avodas of the Korban, that they were going to eat it or sprinkle its blood outside of the time when the Torah says to do that. So the Pasuk says, lo yeirot, say it will not be acceptable as a Korban. Hamakruv oiso lo yechoshev, the one who brings it as a Korban, who brings it as a Korban, it won't be counted as a valid Korban. So why does that have to say oisoi? So Netanya ben Azar Omer, oisoi matam and lemar. What do we learn from that word oisoi? Lefi shenema loisa achar l'shamay. Since the Pasuk tells us, don't delay in paying off your neder and the dava, shemei ani achma achar nidre b'val yeyotze. You would think, therefore, that if a person delays, then maybe also lo yeyotze applies, and therefore the korban is not acceptable because he brought it later than he was supposed to. No, tamad lema oisei. Therefore, the pasuk is saying that oisei only pigul oisei b'lo yeyotze v'en ma'achan nidur b'lo yeyotze. So therefore, so we learn from that only pigul is not acceptable, but delaying your neder is not lo yeyotze. The korban is still acceptable. So we have that drasha from the word oisei. So why do we need the drasha from the words v'hoya b'chochet? And the answer is, you're right. Ella, you're right. We're not going to learn from b'chochet means v'loy b'korban chochet. You're right. That concept we can learn from the word oisei. Rather, b'chochet v'loy b'ishta chochet. Rather, when it says v'hoya b'chochet, means the aveda will be on the person himself who failed to do bal ta'acher, who will fail to bring the korban in time, v'loy b'ishta chochet, but not that his wife will end up getting punished for that. Now, what does that mean? Sakra Nechamina, Hoyo v'omer of Yechonin v'temer of Elazar, Ein ishte shal oda mesa, Elim ken mevachshim in a moment v'ein moy. A person's wife, a man's wife doesn't pass away unless money is being demanded from him and he doesn't have. Rashi, Tosfos brings over here that Rashi elsewhere explains that this means, for example, he stole money and doesn't have what to pay back. Tosfos over here, and in those other places, says that actually it means in context of the Gemara we're talking about over here, it's the Dorim. He made a neder to bring a korban or give tzedakah or what have you, and he doesn't fulfill it. So therefore, and the ein lo, he doesn't have. So then he can be punished by having his wife taken away from him. Now, how is that fair? I mean, she's an independent person of her own. There is actually an interesting musa dikavort I saw on this from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. He says the vote is, what do you mean you don't have what to pay? If you feel that you're indebted, you feel that this is a debt, you're going to find some way to pay. You'll work a third job or something to raise the money. What does it mean if a person is saying, I'm not going to pay? I mean, he says, I don't feel indebted at all. Well, you know who a person should feel most indebted to in his life is his wife. So if he has this kind of mentality, I don't have to be indebted, then the Eivishter can say, in that case, then you don't need a wife either. One second. Yeah. So you would think, therefore, that the same thing would apply to Bal Ta'achar, that if he's over on Bal Ta'achar, he may be punished by losing his wife. He also adds, Reb Chaim also adds, the vote is, we know that, when we say that the Eidishter is Dayan Emes, what it includes in it is, like he says like this, this is a well-known vote from before him also. When a human court punishes somebody, so they take into consideration what he did, they can't take into consideration the effect that the punishment is going to have on his family and his friends and whatnot. It'd be impossible. Every person knows a lot of people. Elamai, they focus on the accused and not that. The Eidishter is not that way. When he punishes Pliny, he also takes into consideration the effect that it's going to have on various other people who know him and his relatives and whatever, which is part of the idea why it is that davening for somebody else is effective. So therefore, so the vort is that here you have, if his wife is anyway herself guilty of something that she might be chayav nisa for, then the Eivishter can say, you know what, if the guy hadn't failed to pay his neder, then fine, I'd give her a break in his chus, because after all, it's not right that he should have to suffer. Hey, Yosef, that he himself has this avera of not paying off what he's supposed to give, then therefore, I'm not going to overlook what she did. Anyway, so you would think, given that that's the case, where he doesn't pay his neder, Shenemar, and we know that because the pasuk says in Ein Lecha L'Shalim, the previous pasuk says, "Be careful about making the dorim," and it continues, "Im Ein Lecha L'Shalim, if you don't have what to pay, Lama Yikach Mishkavcha Mitachtecha, why should it have to be that Hashem is going to take away from underneath you the one that you lie with, meaning your wife? So therefore, we see from that that when a person is mevachin men a moment the Ein Lecha, then the Eivishter can take away his wife, and for that. So you would think, Eima Bahai Oven de Balta'acha Nami Ishte Mesa. So you would think the same thing might apply to Balta'acha. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Bahoya Bachachet is saying this is different. In other words, that there's a difference between when the person, in other words, Mephoshim explained, there's a difference between when we're saying over here, Ein Ishte Shalot Mesa, is when he decides, you know what, I'm not going to pay the neder at all. I know I made the neder, I don't feel like paying it. Or actually, Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a long discussion about it. He says, maybe we're not even talking about somebody who brazenly says, I'm not going to pay it, but somebody who, to begin with, makes the nether, knowing that he doesn't have the resources to pay it. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling him, Mishle, what do you think you're doing? Don't you realize what danger you're putting yourself and your wife into? Mashenkin, we're talking about over here, he eventually does pay it up. He's just doing it late. Instead of doing it within Shalosh Regalim, he delays. So for that, we don't say Ishka Shalada Mesa for that, because eventually he does pay it all. They do talk about, actually. By the coast of Lachem, yeah. There is actually a machloikas whether that applies to miser of grain and things like that, miser of produce, or whether it also applies to tzedakah. Not everybody agrees that that concept of b'chonin no b'zois applies to tzedakah. But so if we say that it does, then fine. Then, but what does that have to do with this? The point is, in other words, right. So according to that, then maybe there wouldn't be a problem doing that. But there might still be the distinction, though. You know, sort of like you have a distinction in Hilchos Shabbos at the very beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, where we have on the one hand it says Asei Shabbat Chachol Dal Tarach Abrius, and on the other hand it says Levua Live Ani Pareya. So one of the distinctions is: do you in fact have, if you're going to borrow money, are you in a circumstance where you have some expectation that in the future you're going to be able to pay it back? Then Levua Live Ani Pareya. Mashenkin, if you know you're in a situation where you're not going to have that, then I say Shabbat Chachol. So you can make a similar distinction over here. You can have a person who doesn't have right now, but he knows in the near future, he expects to be able to have what to pay his neder, versus where he knows to begin with that nothing doing. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as I said, has a long discussion about that in his notes on this Gemara. So anyway, there is an interesting
thing. What exactly is the meaning of Shabbat Chachol?
It means make your Shabbos a weekday. In other words, let your Shabbos be like a regular weekday in terms of the food that you eat. Rather than taking tzedakah from other people. So again, in Shulchan Aruch, it discusses the ins and outs of that, because you have on the other hand, it says, Levu alai bani pereya, borrow money on my account, Hashem says, for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and I'll pay you back. So in Shulchan Aruch, it discusses the various ins and outs of that, when we say one, when we say the other. And even, I say Shabbat Chachol, the Gemara does say, that even so, the person should try to scrimp a little bit during the week and have at least one special dish for Shabbos. Anyway, I was going
to
say...
It only applies to food on Shabbos.
It applies to food, but Pashtus, it applies mainly to food. I mean, you have also, as far as Shabbos candles, because those are necessary for Shalom Bayis. The Rambam, in fact, writes at the end of Hilchos Chanukah that a person is so poor that he can't afford both candles for Shabbos and candles for Chanukah, then even though Chanukah is important for Sumin Yisa, nevertheless, Shabbos candles come first to Shalom Bayis. Anyway, I was going to say, they talk about an interesting thing in this connection involving Yaakov Avinu. That says that one reason why Rachel passed away is because Yaakov was delaying in fulfilling his neder. He had made a neder, Yiyah Beis Halakim, and he spent 22 years before, and including 2 years on the road, before he finally came there. And it says that was a contributing factor to the fact that Rachel passed away. How does that fit with our Gemara over here that was saying that by Bal Ta'achar V'loy V'Ishtachachet, there's a few different explanations, one of them being that when did Rachel pass away? In childbirth. That's an extra dangerous time, Sotan Makatrig, the Shasa Sakana, so therefore there was room for the Sotan to be Makatrig even on that, even though usually we would say, V'hoya B'chochet, V'loy V'Ishtachachet, because Bal Ta'achar is not a reason that a person's wife should pass away, but nevertheless, a Sotan Makatrig, the Shasa Sakana, and maybe that was reason enough for that. Also, of course, you know, Tzadikim, Nevish, says, Medakit, Chota Saira. I saw a very interesting explanation in that connection also, like this. In Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov first comes there, it says he set up the stone as a matseva. Now, Rashi tells us later on, and much later in Parshas Shoftim, we're not allowed to make a matseva because the Goyim took that on as a choik for Avodah Zarah. Therefore, we can only make a mizbeach. So the Meshech Chochmah says an interesting idea. Maybe when did that change take place? Maybe during the time when Yaakov was away in Choran. They saw he had set up a matseva over there. So they had the idea of setting up matsevas for their geshkes. So by the time Yaakov comes back, in other words, he can't make a matseva anymore. So in that sense, he really never fulfilled his nether. He said that he's going to make it a matseva. And in fact, he's not allowed to now because since then, circumstances have changed. And now he can only make a mizbeach. So therefore, in that sense, there really was an unfulfilled nether.
How long did he have to make a matseva?
Well, I mean, he made the promise when he was running away from Esav. Then he spent 22 years in, he spent 20 years in Choron and 2 years on the road. So in particular, the fact that he spent 2 years on the road is held against him because at least he should have tried to hurry back as fast as possible to do it. There's a medrash someplace that says that the Edish gave, like so to speak, gave Yaakov a whole bunch of hints. He met up with Esav and had to give him a huge present. And then you had the whole thing with fighting the Malach and with Dina and so on and so forth. And still Yaakov, like, didn't get the hint that he needs to hurry up and get to Basel and fulfill his nether. And finally the Abish has to tell him, look, come alay Basel, enough with the hints. I'm just going to tell you straight out because you're not getting it. So yeah. I want to mention.
He says in Sakana Sekashet.
It didn't take 2 years on the road because of Sakana Sekashet. When he first ran away to Choron, yeah, that. But afterwards, the point is he should have hurried back as soon as possible. I was going to say, I read in this connection a very funny story involving this Gemara over here about that if a person makes a neder and doesn't pay it, then Ishtar can pass away. The story goes that there was this Yid who was a tremendous miser, so they could never get anything out of him for tzedakah, and also he was having Shalom Bayis problems. So one time he goes to one of the tzaddikim of his times, Shalom Kaminfer was his name, and he asks him, can you please daven that my wife, can you please curse my wife that she should die? I can't stand her anymore. So Shalom tells him, you're not allowed to curse a Yid. I'll tell you what though, he quotes in this Gemara, you know what? So fine, we need a mikveh here in town. Pledge that you're going to give money towards the mikveh. Don't fulfill it. And then you'll have, then it'll happen what you want. So the guy does that. Time passes. Nothing happens. His wife is still perfectly healthy. So he comes back to Rav Shalom. Rav Shalom tells, the expression in the Gemara is ish shel adam. You got to act to her like a husband towards a wife. Then it'll start happening. So the kids really patched things up with his wife, and now they're getting along very nicely. Then she becomes very sick. So now he comes to Rav Shalom. He says, now I don't want her to die. Can you daven for her? So Rav Shalom tells him, okay, well, now you got to fulfill your nether, and then your wife will recover. So he managed to accomplish two things and to work out Shalom Bayis between them and to get money out of this Thompson. So they say that the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Tzanzer, told over the story, and he said, you can see he was a good friend of this Rav Shalom, and he said, you see what a kluger yid Rav Shalom was, that he's able to kill two birds with one stone like that.
Rav Shalom from where? Yeah.
He was a Talmud of the Naftali Rav Shitzer and some of the other and some of the tzaddikim of that time.
Which town was that?
He was a Rav in Kamenkan and some other towns. I don't know, one of those little shtetlach in Eastern Europe. I don't know.
Okay.